Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Christian Arcand.
Chapman is ready. The pitch. Swinging a ground ball to first. Contreras has it. He'll take it himself over to first. Ball game over. The Red Sox win it 4-2. Ninth inning heroics. Gasper and Siegler, after Ranger was great, Bayo really kept him in it, and the Red Sox will just keep on going. 4-2, the final in Miami.
They've trailed in each of the last four games and come back to win all of them. 33 comeback wins on the season, and normally in games they don't hit home runs, they don't win. I mean, they're 12-32 when they don't homer. Found different ways to do it and grind it out today. Some big swings, like you said, from Mickey, from Siegler, Abreu with a double down the line. Just finding ways to win ball games. This is what they do.
Red Sox Review here, WEEI. Christian Arcand with you. We'll go till 11 o'clock tonight. Sox come away with a 4-2 win over the Marlins. Nice win. Nice win tonight. Game that looked like it was getting away from them a little bit. I think we all sort of thought the same thing when Edwards hit that single with the bases loaded. Uh-oh, okay. Well, it was a nice little sweep there of the Giants, but this was a team that did kind of struggle to put them away. And I think some of us were wondering, some of us, I mean me, was that ability to close out the Giants and win just because the Giants stink? Or does this team, I'm not going to say they're in full possession of it yet, but I think that they have developed and are continuing to develop a bit of a killer instinct here. And that is promising. The Marlins aren't the Dodgers. They swept the Dodgers. But I understand it's not like the Marlins are a great team themselves. However, the Red Sox, even when things don't go exactly how they're expecting, exactly how they want them to, this Red Sox team finds ways to win. And after 2 months of not doing that, it really is a nice change of pace. And I think certainly something that if they can continue to maintain this focus on winning today, you heard Middlebrooks talking about it. I think he's exactly right, and he would know. He's been in those kind of locker rooms before. You get focused on how to win that game that day and nothing else, and you start to have multiple games in a row that look like this. Go back to Saturday. There was another ninth-inning rally. They came from behind again yesterday. Friday, a little bit different. They jumped on Webb early in that one, but that one, that game ended up getting closer than you thought. Devers hit that home run. It was a one-run game. And they held on. This team, when they're up, they hold on. And when they're down, they come back. And we've been seeing that for the majority of the games they've played here in the last, I don't know, business week, I'd say. It is very nice to see as we get closer and closer to the month of September. 5 weeks left here in this baseball season, and that is a lot of baseball, don't get me wrong, but you now have a lot of guys, and you saw most of them contributing tonight. A lot of guys here on this roster that have become true catalysts for this offense. Mickey Gasper, Nick Sogard, Siegler, who we haven't seen as much of lately, comes in with a huge triple in the ninth inning. And the more you sort of watch these guys and you see these other guys pop up and deliver a big hit in the ninth inning over and over again, you do start to wonder, how are they possibly going to navigate this? Good problem to have, I suppose, only so long as you make the right call. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Speaking of the right call, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back, get to your phone calls. We'll hear from Chad Tracy, and we'll get to as many calls as we can here on Red Sox Review.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
A nothing Marlins top five. Here's the pitch, and it is swung on and driven high into center field. This ball is cranked. It is back at the wall. It's off the wall. Duran held at second. Big Karam, they're going to wave him home. Relay throw is not going to be in time. Duran, head first slide. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. We are tied at one. Mickey Gasper, a double off the wall. Big time in Miami for Gasper.
He just missed a homer. I mean, he got a sinker. That was really the first mistake Alcantara's made all night. Two-seamer, 0-2, right down the heart of the plate. He was 105 off the bat. Center fielder went up for it just off his glove. It would have hit the very top of the wall. He just missed a two-run homer, but he'll take tying it up.
Christian Arcan here with you. It's Red Sox Review, and Middlebrooks wasn't lying about Sandy Alcantara either. He was awesome. 7 innings, 1 run on 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He threw 102 pitches. Red Sox had a whale of a time trying to solve him. Gasper's the only one who could do it. Eknis, Fairbanks, Zuber all really kind of tanked it there at the end, and the Red Sox able to score on that Marlins bullpen. And it was not a great game offensively for them either. They had chances against Alcantara. 6 hits, 2 walks. That's base runners. They finished the night 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 men on base. But if you win, you don't really harp on stuff like that quite as much. And it's another great night for the pitching staff. Ranger Suarez, 5 innings, 1 run on 4 hits with 4 walks and 4 strikeouts. He was a little bit wild, but he did limit the damage. Things almost got out of hand there in that 7th inning. Brian Baio, though, was excellent in his 2 innings. He did give up 1 run and did have a couple of walks, but was able to come out there and sort of calm things down. And Eric Miller, Aroldis Chapman, neither one of them had clean innings per se. Miller gave up a couple of hits. Chapman gave up a hit as well and did bring the tying run to the plate. But, listen, scoreless. 2 runs, that's it. 2 runs on 9 hits in the game. With 6 walks as well. So the Marlins had plenty of opportunities themselves. They were 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position with 14 left on base. The Red Sox also committed an error, both teams with 9 hits. All right, let's see. We got time for 2 more segments here as we got a bit of a late start. I think what we're going to do is take a call here, and then we'll do Tracy in the next segment and get to the rest of your calls after that. That sounds like a plan. 617-779-7937 to get the phones going. Let's start with our leadoff man, Casper in Worcester. Hey, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Mickey Mantle Gasper. It's a story all by itself. I can't believe how good the Sox are doing, and it just doesn't seem to stop. No matter what they do, they're able to win. It's a good combination of, you know, fielding, pitching, et cetera. I just hope that these MLB owners don't think, oh, let's not pay anybody. We'll just field all minor leaguers. But Mickey Mantle Gasper sure looks like a character that belongs in one of those feeling good time baseball movies. With that said, great win, and I'll let you go.
Thank you, Casper. Appreciate it. Gasper is shooting up the charts of all-time baseball Mickeys. Going to take a while to pass Mantle. There is an argument to be made that Mickey Morandini should be looking over his shoulder. Also, Mickey Tettleton. Mickey Rivers is pretty good. He's probably got to play a little longer to catch him. Same with Mickey Lolich. But I don't know. I'm not off top. I can't think of too many other ones. Mickey Mouse. There are not as many baseball men. There's probably a lot that I am not thinking of now. You know, guys who
Mickey
didn't
Rourke,
play that long.
But he's
better, Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he's
true.
Better looking than Mickey Rourke, even with the mustache.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke, excellent in The Wrestler, I thought. But yeah, Mickey Gasper looking like our Mickey for right now, and definitely playing with just a lot of confidence in the batter's box. And with Roman Anthony coming back, and the potential DH position going to get thrown into a tailspin there. I do wonder who the odd man out's going to be, and I hope it's not Gasper, at least not until he cools off a little bit, because right now he is really seeing the ball well. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Another quick break here. We'll hear from Chad Tracy when we come back, and we'll hear from you as well. Your number 617-779-7937. It's Arcan here with you on Red Sox Review.
back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Eli, medium-sized lead at first. Tie game in the ninth. The pitch is ripped into right field. That's extra bases for Siegler. White runs so well. He's around second. He's going to be waved home. Tony Seagulls puts the Red Sox ahead with an RBI triple. It is 3-2 in the ninth. You kidding me?
He just always comes through, doesn't he?
He just does. It's just a huge spot. We talk about how uncomfortable it is to not play and not get consistent at bats. He gets to two strikes. He gets fooled on the fastball. And there it was, the breaking ball down and in. Right where he was looking for it. Ripped it right over the first baseman's head. And it was off to the races
come
for
on,
Eli
man.
White.
Come on.
Kind of contributions. Brian Baio turning into a weapon in that bullpen. It's Red Sox Review here, WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, as I believe we have one, maybe two open phone lines. If you'd like to go ahead and grab one, you can do so at 617-779-7937. But first, let's hear from the manager, Chad Tracy. He spoke to the media after this 4-2 win in Miami over the Marlins.
It was kind of a theme pregame about all the key contributors that you had who have come up and given you guys something. That ninth inning, kind of the illustration of that, with started with Mickey's walk.
Yeah, obviously the walk, huge. Gives us the opportunity. He had great at bats all night. Gives us the opportunity to get Eli out there. Siegler with a two strike hit in the corner is about the perfect place to put it for him to be able to score, because he can really run. It was a team win tonight. There was defensive plays. Wilson knocking the ball down with bases loaded, getting the force out at home. Miller catching the ball above his head. If that gets over his head, we're not turning a double play and we're not getting the runner at the plate. There was a lot of execution late in the game that helped us win that game. Obviously, we had some chances early where we had some runners on third against Alcantara, who's very good, by the way. That sinker's real, that we couldn't get some runs in, but we executed very well at the back end of the game.
Both teams, it seemed like it was a real struggle to get a hit with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, there was people out there, you know, it became obvious it's going to become a game of pitching, and then, you know, if somebody can some breakthrough first. I thought Baio was good. That's a heck of a jam he had to work his way out of. If they get another run or two there, it's going to be, could be a backbreaker, although I know we'll fight back. But to get out of that inning there and keep it at 2-1, once again, similarly that day, it feels like it gives us a shot.
Frazier wasn't sharp, but he only allowed the one run.
Yeah, that's part of it, right? Like, you know, being able to not be sharp and give up one run is important. I think if you, anything with today, it's the walks and the couple hit batters. So it's most of what, there wasn't much damage, but it was self-inflicted with just some of the walks and the free passes. But he was able to wiggle his way out of some of those spots and give us five innings and keep him to one run, which is important.
Siegler hadn't started a game in, yeah, you know, 8 days. He comes up with a huge triple there. Like, yeah, yeah, what does that say about him?
He's a good player. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you still know who he is. Like, he's a ball and play hitter, and you feel pretty good about it if you get him up there in spots with people on, like, that the ball's going to get put in play. So, you know, even with the time off, he is still who he is, and he's going to give you a competitive at-bat, but that was obviously a massive swing.
I know you talked about the Miller play, but how fired up does the team get when he, you know, cuts that down, cuts that rundown at home, or, you know, gets him into a rundown, and then obviously the strikeout after that?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge moment. You know, at that point where the game had gotten there, again, we're on the brink, and you know, they're in a spot where there's a lot of different ball and play there that can score a run with us in like a three depth and close. You know, so we got, you know, a soft hit ball right over his head. He's able to snare it. And then obviously you got a left on left and you feel good about that. So it was a really nice job by him as well.
How is having him change how you can approach and line up your bullpen?
Well, we're still missing some guys, you know, so I've talked mostly here over the course of the last 10 days or so, like when you have some really high-end relievers in Witt and Slate that are down, having Miller being able and still have Tay down there, and you got Chappie that he's been a godsend as far as like being able to have some back-end guys with big, big stuff to come in and wipe some innings out. So he's been, you know, everything as advertised, he's been so good for us since we got him.
Can you expand a little bit on what you saw from Sandy? Alcantara.
Oh, it's good stuff. I mean, you know it going into the game. You're facing a really, really good pitcher. You're facing a guy that's going to eat up innings. He's closing in on 200 innings already. Like, the guy, he's going to pitch. He's going to be out there for a while. I thought we did the first part well, which is get some base runners on them, create some opportunities where you have some runners in scoring position where you can, you know, throw a hit out there and grab a couple runs. He made some big pitches in big spots. And then just, you know, high-level observation. Like I said, the sinker is something else. Like, he can throw that thing almost at a left-handed hitter, and it ends up almost middle away. It's just it's a real pitch, and it's difficult to square that thing up. So he's really good.
There you go. That's manager Chad Tracy discussing the unlikely heroes once again here for this Red Sox team. Sogard, Siegler, Gasper, etc. Guys mainly who make up the bench right now, along with Jamai Jones, Eli White, Connor Wong, etc. I mean, you look, it sort of bleeds together. It's kind of a blurry line right now between starters and bench players, but that line's about to get a lot more clear when players like Roman Anthony and Trevor Story come back, and all of a sudden they're getting their positions back, and these guys are going to have to figure out, you know, not just who's playing their position, but who's going to account for the righty or lefty bats in the lineup. Now, for Siegler and for Gasper, those are two switch hitters. They don't have to worry about that quite as much. But, I do think that you have some guys in the lineup right now, and there is time for them to cool off and time for this all to sort of even out here. So I'm not going to pretend like this is an impossible situation that they're in. This is a good thing. You have a lot of guys that are hitting the ball well right now, and that's something that we should focus on more so than who's going to be getting the playing time. But you do also have to keep an eye on that. And I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure here on Chad Tracy, as well as on the front office, because I think Chad Tracy has say in what the lineup looks like and who plays. But I think the front office has a good deal of say in that as well. I think that that's a collaborative effort. I think that's something that everybody kind of chimes in on. And I am going to be very interested in seeing if this team, a team that in the front office is very much entrenched in analytics, and that's been, you know, going on since before Craig Breslow got here, if a team like that is going to look at what they have going on right now and look at what they should be getting from these players that are returning from injury, weighing all that together and seeing what wins out and why, I think is going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating for this team and for Chad Tracy and for Craig Breslow and whoever else is involved in those decisions. It goes wrong, then it's going to be a million second guesses, third guesses, fourth guesses. It is going to be Armageddon around here if things go really, really poorly, or if Roman Anthony comes back and struggles out of the gate and it takes him a couple of weeks to get his swing going. And meanwhile, they're losing games, and now here's Gasper out of the lineup. No Nick Sogard. Well, we don't have room for him with Trevor Story. We can't fit Siegler in anywhere either. All of a sudden, you're waiting for these guys coming back from injury to start producing like you would hope that they would. Meanwhile, the guys that have been actually doing that get cast aside. That's a real fear that I think a lot of fans have right now. That is a legitimate concern. And I just can't imagine that that's an easy process for the guys in that building, for the guys in that clubhouse and the front office, period. I think this is going to be a dancing between the raindrops kind of deal we got here. 617-779-7937. Let's take a call here before the break. Avery is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Avery.
Paul, something to point out is it's been great to see the Red Sox consistently come back from down multiple runs, because that's something we have not seen in the past, and I think that's something that sets this team apart. Mm. Also, I wanted to add to your point before, it's going to be interesting when Story and IKF come back, because and Roman, because probably your odd guys out going down to AAA are Gasper, Siegler, and Sogard. And especially in the infield, what you want out of Story and IKF are probably the level of what Sogard and Siegler are doing right now. So you were just making this point, but it's very interesting to see what happens, because honestly, if Trevor Story is playing well, he's probably giving you what Sogard is giving you right now. So this is a very interesting conversation to have. I'm curious what Tracy in the front office will do.
Yeah, I am too, Avery. Thanks for the call, and smart for agreeing with me, as always. I can tell you this, before the game, Chad Tracy gave the following updates about Trevor Story, Kiner Falefa, and Roman Anthony. And I think he talked about Slayton and Whitlock as well. I'll try and find those quotes. Rob, if you can find them, go ahead and do that. But I know that for Trevor Story, he went back to Boston, flew back with the team, went to Boston, got checked up, and they decided to send him to Worcester, and he'll play there tomorrow. Worcester has the day off today. It's Monday. He'll play there tomorrow. Kiner Falefa is going to play there tomorrow. Roman Anthony is going to play there tomorrow. So all three of those guys will be on the Woo Sox. I think that's it. After Story plays that game, he's going to get checked out again, and if he's good to go, he's going to be with the team. That wasn't explicitly stated, but they're going to check up on him after the game. They're not going to check up on IKF or Anthony until after Thursday's game. So that you can read into that how you want to. I read into it as they think that Story's further along. The last checkup for him, he's already played, what, five, six rehab games in Worcester? This is probably going to be the last one. They're going to check up on him and see how he does. One kind of elephant in the room about Trevor Story and his rehab is that he's not hitting the ball in AAA. He's just not. I mean, it's, you know, the numbers are what they are. And I understand that there is a plan sort of mapped out for Story here and that he is presumed to be returning and become the everyday shortstop. I don't think anybody figured that there's a chance he wouldn't be able to hit in AAA and that could derail it, but I think that that's now something that needs to be at least put on the board as a possibility. And if it is, then all the people who are wringing their hands over Siegler and Sogard and those guys, you know, Monasterio and those guys not playing as much, well, that'll, I guess, kind of take care of itself. And I wonder if that's going to be something that happens with some of these guys. You know, they get back, they get close, they're not quite where they want to be. They decide, you know, I'm just going to shut it down. And they wait for next year, and we hope that these guys playing well right now can continue to do so for another 5 weeks. Which is also not exactly a slam dunk here either. I see David in Florida, Stephen Fall River on the line. I will get to you guys in just a moment. Couple open phone lines. Go ahead and grab them at 617-779-7937. We'll come back and wrap things up with your phone calls next.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1, swinging a ground ball into right field. That's a base hit. Siegler will score. Sogard does it again. And the Red Sox lead it 4-2. Are you kidding me with this group right now?
I can't say I'm surprised anymore. They've been doing this for 2 months now. It just doesn't matter, right? How many comeback wins now? This, if they can pull this off, that's 33 comeback wins. And a lot of those have come over the last 8 weeks.
A night where Rafaela, Abreu, Contreras, and Rutschman, your 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters, didn't do much. Rafaela 1-for-5, Abreu 1-for-4 with a walk. Contreras 0-for-4, Rutschman 0-for-5. You know, even Durbin 1-for-4. Like, these are your big contributors. And for the most part, it wasn't them.
No home runs either from anybody.
No home runs hit in this game. About as bad of a game as you could have for Pete Fairbanks. Pete Fairbanks came into the game, gave up the lead, got hurt, and got the loss. It's about, I don't know. I mean, like, he didn't record a single out. He's probably on he called the trainer out and said, come out, take me out of the game right now. They were talking about it on both broadcasts. You could see him. I'm not a great lip reader, but you could see him go, I need to come out of this game right now. And it's like, ooh, well, tough break there, Fairbanks. Tough break there, Petey. Red Sox with the win. And listen, enough went wrong for him in the first couple of months that stuff like that I'm not gonna read into. That stuff had to even out eventually, and I'm glad it did. Let's go to your phone, 617-779-7937, and we'll stick with the phones here to close out the show. David is in Florida. Go ahead, David.
What's up, Arcan?
What's up, David?
I got two points and a quick question.
Okay.
First of all, one thing that concerns me is that if this were like a football game, they're coming out of the gates very slowly. They're not scoring early on in the games, if you've noticed that lately.
True, except against Logan Webb they did. But, yeah, other than that, you're right. These have all been comeback wins. You're right.
Yes. So, I mean, come playoff time, come down the stretch, they're going to have to play complete games. And even though it's exciting and very praiseworthy that they're coming back from these and they're mounting comebacks, they still have to play complete games.
Sure.
Another thing. Would you even, when Story's ready to be turned, would you even consider just DFAing him the way players are playing now?
Thanks for the call, David. I don't know about DFA. You got to at least put him on the field. I don't think you DFA him before you see what he's got. But, I mean, listen, I want Story to contribute. I think it'd be great if he came back and started raking. I think that would be great, great news. But I'm not putting the mortgage on it. I think that would be a really great sort of pleasant surprise if that happened. Alternatively, I think if that doesn't happen, that's going to lead to a lot of second guessing to Tracy and Breslow and everybody else. Because between Anthony, Kiner Falefa, etc., all these guys coming back from injury, even Curtis Meade, the only guy that I hear get talked about by the people on the beat and the people with lines into the Red Sox front office that are, you know, I don't have any insider information. I go off of what they say. And everyone I've talked to has made it sound as though Trevor Story's job is the safest. And I wonder how long that would be the case for. I wonder how long the leash is. I wonder how many chances he's going to get, where he's going to hit in the lineup, etc. And how long guys like Siegler, Sogard, Monasterio, Gasper, etc. are going to stay on the sideline while the Anthony's and Kiner Falefa's and Stories and who had, you know, if he even comes back, Curtis Meade's of the world, find their way back to a major league batter's box. I'm very interested in that. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Hey, Steve.
I'm going to lose my mind. First of all, I'm the only guy that said they weren't out of it in June. So let me get a little credit there.
Congratulations,
Steve. Bet me. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what you're going to hear. I'm going to start with this. You can't put all these guys in the same basket. Siegler hasn't played in 8 days. He didn't do anything for the last 7 games.
Right.
Siegler, Monasterio, all the guys that Will Fleming is raving about are donut spares. If they were tires, they're donut spares.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice that you could drive 70 miles an hour with them. They have a shelf life. Read the sign. It says 50 miles. Go put the real tires on. At least the Red Sox have a brain in their head. You cannot tell me you want Monasterio at shortstop in the playoffs. The guy cost them 5 runs in the last few games.
That's true.
He gave up the guy's a disaster.
He's not great defensively, Steve. You're right. But we're talking about an alternative being Trevor Story here. And Trevor Story may not be better than that. He may not be better than any of these guys.
Is everyone gone mad?
Nope.
This guy had 25 homers and 95 RBIs.
Last year, right. How'd he do this year before he got hurt?
95 RBIs on the team this year.
How'd he do this year before he got hurt, Steve?
95 RBIs on the team this year.
Steve, I don't give a rat's ass what he did last year. How'd he do this year before he got hurt? How was he? Was he good? Was he a good hitter in the league? Or was he Jaren Duran and Caleb Durbin the three worst hitters in baseball for the time that he was hit before he got injured? Come on. I don't care what happened last year. That doesn't matter.
It's called a ceiling, my boy. It's called the track record. I was being called a lunatic thinking they were still in it.
Steve, you're a lunatic for many, many other reasons. But
no,
yes, you were right about that.
You've got donut spares and you're trying to drive over the limit. And
okay.
Guess what? You got
Trevor Story may be a flat tire. If we want to extend the metaphor, Trevor Story could end up being a flat tire, Steve. You take a donut over a flat, wouldn't you?
Put a real freaking tire on the car.
A real flat one.
I got to make it easy.
Big nail sticking
out. You people are lunatics. Lunatics.
Steve, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Always good to talk with you.
For the stat line brought to you by Town Fair Tire, Trevor Story is batting .206 with 3 home runs and 19 RBI so far this season.
Let's let you
all know that.
He got off to a brutal start. They had him batting second. They had to drop him down to sixth. I remember he, for about a week, got a couple of hits in the sixth spot. Then he couldn't hit from there either. Then he couldn't hit from anywhere. And then he was on the IL. And then he was gone forever. And we didn't hear from him again. And Andrew Monasterio put together a much better season than whatever Trevor Story was tracking for. Now, to be fair, Trevor Story last year got off to a bad start, and by the end of the year, he was the only guy on your team that was hitting other than Masa Yoshida. That's it. It was those two. Those were the only two that were giving you any offense at the end of the year. The difference being that Story didn't come back from a big injury right at the end of the season. With 5 weeks left, you give him how many weeks to figure it out? Let's say he's not tearing the cover off the ball here right away, which, come on. Those kind of numbers don't exactly scream a guy who's going to be jumping back in and, you know, just socking dingers left and right. I hope he does. I do, because he's definitely getting an opportunity to. And I didn't even want to bring up to Steve his AAA numbers, because they are bad. He's not even hitting pitching in Worcester. Real quick. Garrett Whitlock and Justin Slayton. Some updates about them from Chad Tracy. Garrett Whitlock is with the team in Miami. He will face hitters on Wednesday, live hitters, as part of rehab. He's not going to go into a game, but he's going to face live hitters on Wednesday. Tracy said, we'll see how that goes and if we can activate him. Said getting him on the field to face batters is the final step before he comes off the list. So Wednesday, Thursday at the earliest, or I guess maybe there's not a game Thursday, so Friday at the earliest. Friday at the earliest for Whitlock. Slayton, along with Crochet, Slayton remains in Boston. He will continue his throwing program. He's lifting his throwing volume and intent. Currently playing catch at 90 feet. So there you go. Let's go to Gabe in Springfield. Hey, Gabe.
Hey. Steve from Fall River. Jesus Christmas. Story is an unspirited slug. Look at the timeline of when the Sox got good. When he got gone.
Well,
we cannot make the same mistake as the Celtics. Welcoming back Tatum and disrespecting the bench. Look who won the game today. Not the starting five, the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to welcome back, you know, Slayton, Whitlock, leave the lineup alone.
Okay, thanks, Gabe. We'll see. Sorry. Thought he was done. If you have an opportunity to improve your lineup and it's a definite improvement, You take it. You take it no matter when it is in the season. Unless it's one of your better hitters. Unless it's one of your more consistent players that even if they're going through a cold stretch, you leave them in there. And I'm not talking about like platoon guys either. I'm just talking about your mainstay guys. Guys that are out there playing most games, most nights. And producing in that spot. I'm not talking about, you know, Jaron Duran plays every night, but he doesn't really produce much for you. I'm talking about your Rafaelas, your Abreus, your Contreras's. Since June, your Caleb Durbins. Those guys. And yeah, tonight it wasn't about them. And you're getting contributions from all over the lineup, all over the bench, all over the starting rotation, and all over the bullpen. It's really been a great team effort, no question about that. And I don't talk about vibes a lot because I think that vibes are kind of fake. You know, a team's playing well, they're playing well. The vibes can be good, the vibes can be bad, doesn't matter. There's been plenty of Red Sox teams where the vibes were terrible and they still won World Series. You know? Kurt Schilling was in those clubs. How good could the vibes have possibly been? Okay? You know, so I don't think vibes always mean everything. That being said, more a disruption of the vibes than a disruption of the solid play that you're getting from some of these guys. Trevor Story makes a lot of errors. Trevor Story hasn't hit the ball well. You put him back in there, he's booting balls, he's striking out. It's not going to be about the vibes. It's going to be about the production. It's going to be about the baseball. And listen, Steve, you're going to get your wish. Story's going to play. And I wish I could be as confident as you are that he's going to go out there and rake. I really do, because I'd like to see it. I'm having a hard time picturing it. Let's try Mike in Maine. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I can give that guy credit. The flat tire reference worked.
Thank you.
My real question is if we're playing IKF and Story in Woodsville, what are we doing with Franklin Arias? Because, I mean, I am on the pipe dream that Franklin Arias is going to come up and do the Xander Bogaerts lift.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on it, Mike. And listen, I think that's a perfectly fine thing to want to see happen, but if it were to happen, it would mean that injuries happen. I don't think that that's plan A, B, or C for this team coming down the stretch. I think that Arias is going to very likely not make it up to the big club this year. In September, he can only freeze up two spots. And I just think there's too many decisions to make that have nothing to do with Franklin Arias that's going to pretty much push him down, you know, off to the side. And I think that that whole thing is going to probably die on the vine. Now, if it were to happen,
are they playing him at all?
Well,
I'd rather have.
They're playing him in AAA, sure.
Sogard,
thanks for the call. All right, thanks,
IKF.
Mike. Yeah. Thanks for the call. I think that, you know, Sogard, IKF, whoever ends up getting that utility role is going to be whoever's the hot hand right now. I think that's kind of how they're gonna break it down and work it out for themselves. Is they're going to get the guys back that they have, you know, investments in, Anthony and Story and whoever else. And whoever the hottest hand is other than that gets to stay on the bench. And you hope that those guys can contribute, because if they don't, there's going to be a lot of unhappy fans wondering, why didn't you reward these guys with playing time? Why didn't you? I don't think there's going to be that many Arias people. But you can put Mike and Maine on that list. Let's go to Boston Bar Guy. Go ahead, Boston Bar Guy.
Hey, Akin, you're the best. I'm coming home from a big bowling victory, and I turned you on, and I'm listening to this, and I'm a huge Red Sox fan. I've been for 60 years, I've been a huge Red Sox fan. I've seen
sure.
it all, and what they're doing this year, it's amazing. And I know everybody wants to say certain things about Story and this and that, and, you know, but we have Whitlock, we have Story, we have Anthony. And we have who's the other one that's banged up?
Meade, Slayton. There's a bunch of guys still. Crochet, a lot of guys banged up still.
Oh, Crochet's the one I wanted to see. The four. What was Crochet? Was the fourth? And solid. I mean, these guys are number one players that are coming back from injuries, and we got a young guys right now that are doing the job for us. But I'm telling you, what we're seeing right now, I would not be surprised. Okay. That if the Sox make a serious run at the World Series. You know, they went out there, they beat the Dodgers, they beat Tampa, they beat the Yankees, and now we got four, you know, we got an injury list that these guys are stud. Crochet come out of the bullpen. Please. I mean, so we got to be all excited about this. Forget the negativity and this and that. Sox are on a roll, and it's history making. And if they win the World Series, it's something that'll never ever be forgotten. All right, guys, have a good night.
Thanks, Boston Bar Guy. Sounds like you were on a roll as well, my friend, at the bowling alley. Big big win there.
Great start to the week. Great start to the week for him.
How about that? Yeah, pretty nice. As far as Garrett Crochet, Brian Bayo for multi-innings, Whitlock back, Slayton back, you think? Whitlock should be back this week. Slayton, you hope, is back soon. Tyron Guerrero, Eric Miller, and Aroldis Chapman in the ninth. That is a very, very good bullpen. I mean, that's very good. Right now, that is, I look at that and I think you got arms for different scenarios and situations. You go into a playoff series, the Red Sox with Gray, Bennett, Suarez. I mean, Peyton Tolley is your four right there. You have long relievers. Bayo, who can go six, seven innings if you need him to, or five or six. Crochet, who can go two. And three guys for the sixth and seventh innings. And three strong arms there. Miller, Guerrero, Slayton. All three of those guys could go in the sixth or the seventh. Whitlock in the eighth. Chapman in the ninth.
Miller might be like the sneakiest, like best trade deadline acquisition this year. He might be up there, right?
He's up there. Rutschman's been fine. Miller, they've used him a lot, and he's come through.
Hasn't given up a run yet.
Nope. Curtis Meade's been on the sideline, on the shelf, so we don't know about him. But yeah, so far, Miller looking like a nice acquisition. Let's go to Peter in Lawrence. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, first time, long time.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for taking the question. I want to get your opinion. Middlebrooks said something tonight that I appreciated. You know, they were lousy at the beginning of the season. Mm. Then they were streaky. And Middlebrooks said, he believes in them. This is it. I want to get your take on that. And then I have another question about Cora.
About Cora?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if the question is, do I believe in the Red Sox? I believe that they're going to be a playoff team. Do I believe that they can make a deep playoff run? I'm not sure about that yet. I'm just not sure. I know that this is a team that offensively can go real quiet for games at a time. I know that their pitching staff generally picks them up, but, you know, this is a team that has some guys that are kind of inexperienced when it comes to postseason throwing. I have some very experienced guys, too. Gray and Suarez, those are guys with playoff pedigree. Chapman, obviously. But there's a lot of guys that don't necessarily have that on the pitching staff, and I do wonder if when the games get more important, that's something that they'll be able to play through. I believe in the pitching staff more than the offense. So I'd say overall, yeah, I guess I do believe in them as, like, a legitimate playoff team, but World Series, they got to show me a lot more than that, obviously, in the offense. I'd like to see more from the offense here coming down the stretch in September. I think that would definitely, not just me, but I think with everybody who follows baseball, the Red Sox with like a scary good offense that's getting hot right at the right time, that's going to freak a lot of people out. So that would certainly help to convince me. What do you want to ask about Cora?
Okay, I want to get your take on this. My thought was, you know, what happened to them? And I wonder if it wasn't Cora being kind of miserable and depressed and not really supported by the front office, which he wanted to become a part of. And then he was just miserable. And I think these young guys needed somebody more like Tracy.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that's thanks for the call, Peter. I think that that's definitely a legitimate observation to make. The only thing I would say is that the team didn't get good right away after they fired Cora. There wasn't that like little bump that you usually get when you fire your manager. The Phillies fired, what's his name, Rob Thomas, and brought in Mattingly, and then they took off like a rocket. And the Red Sox didn't really. They continued to play like ass for like a whole month after that. So listen, it's easy to say that they wouldn't have played the same kind of small ball under Cora. I think that that's a fair argument to make. But I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of things that happened over the course of that hot streak didn't really have much reflection on the manager at all. I think it was just kind of, you know, this is it. All right, we got a couple more calls to get to here, and then we're going to call it a night. Alan in Cape Cod, quickly, go ahead.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Quick question. Do you think that the Yankees series is going to be an important series?
Absolutely. They're all important series when you're playing the Yankees. I absolutely believe that. The Yankees idle tonight. Thanks for the call. The Yankees idle tonight. Had three games up on the Red Sox. That has now been shaved down to 2.5. There's a possibility that by the time we get to that series, the Red Sox could be right there, nipping at the heels of the Yankees for that first wild card and for second in the East. And if that were to happen, then next stop is first place in the AL East and top record in the American League. And I think the Red Sox playing home playoff games this year is very important. That's important to me. That's important to John Henry. That's important to everybody. Okay? We all want that. We all want to see this team in the postseason at Fenway Park. And I think they should be doing everything they can to try to make that happen. Absolutely. And that includes, you know, a very important Yankee series. I consider that very important, personally, yes. Bob in Fall River, go ahead.
The caller just a few moments ago was talking about how great this season has been. I will say, I used to watch when it was Sean McDonough and Jerry Remy on UPN.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I have been watching. I love the Red Sox. Those were like must watch appointments. This season has been better than any season I have ever seen. And I don't understand. It almost feels like sometimes like people are expecting it to be negative. And I think that they went on a 15-game win streak and then turned around and won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anyone will ever do that again.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate you checking in. You're right. This has been a fun season, but this wasn't 2018, okay? When they were the best team in the league from the first week to the last week and then bulldozed through the postseason, beat the Yankees, beat the Astros, beat the Dodgers. This hasn't been that so far. But I do think that for people who are really enjoying this season, the reason that you are enjoying it as much as you are is because this team did hit those awful depths, and you've really been on kind of an emotional roller coaster with them. There was no roller coaster in 2018. It was just up, 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 World Series over, you won. There was never the dive. There was never a time where you felt scared. There was never a time where you were worried about anything. You've been 2 months. I mean, listen, other than Steve in Fall River, and I'll give him props, everybody wrote this team off. I certainly did. And now here they are, playing very well. Let's go to Sean in Worcester. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Christian.
Yes.
I have a very nice kind of trade bot.
What?
You trade Suarez and a couple others.
Yeah, Sean, we're not doing trades right now. There's no time to do that. No. You can't make a trade. So thanks for the call. Let's go to George in Andover. Go ahead, George.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, the owner of our team, John Henry, is more in control of this entire league than people realize. I mean, this parity, the work stoppage, these things are all his own idea. And that's influencing every player who takes the field one way or the other. What do you think that salary cap will be allowed? Or do you think there's going to be a discontinuance of the game next season?
Okay, George, thanks for the call. And we'll close on that one. I'll tell you, I do think that there is going to be a lockout. I don't think there's going to be baseball next year, certainly not a full season. And I think the likely outcome here is going to be the salary cap. I think that the players will talk themselves into it. I think the owners will hold firm, and the players will ultimately talk themselves into it, and they'll do it through the salary floor, which I think is going to have a bigger impact on baseball than the salary cap, personally. But that's all a discussion for another night. And with that, Let's go ahead and close things down here on Red Sox Review. This is late. This is late. I want an extra 15 minutes for you people tonight. Extra innings tonight here on Red Sox Review. Because, you know, calls started pouring in. And I took it, except for Sean and Worcester. I just didn't have patience for a Ranger Suarez trade. Sean, sorry about that. Call back next time, and I'll let you talk. It's late, and you can't make a trade, so what do you want from me? A Red Sox win 4-2. I'm back tomorrow at 5:40 for pregame. Talk to you then, right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Rob back in Brighton. Great job. Good night now.